Toy Power, the podcast where we talk toys and pop culture. This is episode 54 of our podcast, and as it happens, a very special episode of Toy Power. I'm Darren, and I've taken over Frank's toy room, and the reason for that is because I wanted to share my excitement with everyone regarding New York Toy Fair and the reveals that we've had. We're not going to cover every topic that's been revealed at New York Toy Fair, but we're going to cover many across our episode. And I'm going to introduce my friends that have joined us and podcasters. So we have Frank, the heroic editor of Toy Power.
Yes.
We have Ben, the heroic photographer and photoshopper of Toy Power.
Cheers, mate.
So whenever you see those beautiful photos on our episodes, they've generally always been taken by Ben. Mm. And we have Trent, our heroic video.
Yeah, I was going to say the evil warrior of video editing, because they are pretty evil, those videos. But yeah, thanks for the shout out, Darren, and to all listeners. If you do want to check out Toy Power, you can find us on YouTube.
So we're going to start off talking about some exciting news from Super 7 regarding the vintage style Masters of the Universe reveals that we've seen. And in addition to seeing some updates to sculpting for Shearer and some improvements that have been made there, we've also seen some new characters revealed, which include a very Filmation-esque Man-at-Arms and Beast Man. Just wondering, what people thought of that, just quickly.
Yeah, look, I know there was probably a bit of criticism that we didn't see any new Classics figures, so Club Grayskull or Club Filmation. I always thought that was how it was going to pan out, because they were basically waiting to get the stuff shipped, because, you know, they haven't really even shipped any of the new Grayskull or Club Filmation. So I wasn't, you know, missing that. I knew that was going to be the case. And it was nice. I was actually excited to see Man-at-Arms and Beast Man looking, like we said, very Filmation. And there were a lot of comments from people saying, this is the Beast Man I've always wanted since I was a kid.
He looks amazing. Of all of them, that's the one that just pops. And maybe it's the colors. But I think with animation stuff in particular, it's the face. You get that head sculpt right, and the rest of the figure takes care of itself.
Honestly, these vintage figures, I had to take a double look, because I'm like, oh, they're the Classics Filmation toys. And then I'm like, hang on a sec. They're smaller, and there's no articulation at the knees or the elbow. Oh, they're vintage. Wow. So, yeah, massive respect in that scenario. That it fooled me for the first couple of seconds at the first glimpse. So, well done, Super 7. And Brian Flynn was very articulated a bit around why there wasn't a new Classics, and I respect his decision for that. Good on you, Brian.
Yeah, and also a little bit about they showed a lot of product at the very prototype stage in the past, and I think they're feeling that, you know, the fans look at everything and ask all the questions, and they're sort of, yes, we're going to fix that bit, and yes, we're going to do that, and yes, we're going to do this. So I think this has almost given them an opportunity to get the figures more up to final production and then showcase them. So hopefully that might allay some of the concerns people have with the process along the way. Yeah. He also did address the color of Triclops, which he has sort of done in the past. And I guess the main message out of that was, you know, they went for a particular look that they thought made sense. I think the way he said it was they were trying to differentiate from the first Triclops that was done by Mattel. Mm. But the big takeout for them was, if they're going to do this again, they're going to consult with fans at first, just to let everyone know what sort of changes they're making and just make that a bit clearer.
And having seen pictures of the two together, I can see what they were saying about not wanting them to look too similar. And that I also think there's a big advantage in not showing Wave 3 before everyone's received Wave 1. So I'll sort of see where they're going with that as well.
Speaking of, I've seen some people in the US have finally gotten their hands on the Wave 1. Is that that's not the Ultimates, this is the...
That's right, this is the first wave of Super 7 stuff that, people are starting to receive.
Does anyone know if anyone in Australia's gotten theirs?
Not yet, according to the Facebook, Australian Facebook Masters page. Yeah. They're still waiting. No one's received shipping orders yet, but apparently there's some people in the US that received them without even getting an email of shipping notification. So watch this space, I guess.
I guess just to call out as well, probably the next big reveal is for Vow Staples PowerCon exclusives. So Brian did confirm that we should expect to see these figures start to be showcased from 15th of March or onwards. Clearly Val wants the date moved up, and Brian will probably try and push it out as far as he can. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I think was the first time we've had confirmation on this was we had a rough price guide from Brian Flynn on the vintage style figures. And this is really interesting because he said they're basically going to retail for $19.99 US dollars. At the same toy fair, and we'll talk a little bit about this later, but there's product that's very similar in articulation and size and scale coming out from Funko.
Yeah.
And they're putting that out at basically the $10 USD price point.
I think so. That is interesting and a bit of a, you know, annoying at the same time. But I think that shows the different sizes of the companies. So Funko can lean on their pop vinyl franchise, and, you know, they're pushing them out left, right and center, and they've up to about a billion pops now. And whereas Super 7, they're still trying to find their feet in their real market, and they pretty much have a couple of stores that sell stock, and everything else is on their website. Whereas you can walk into Kmart these days and find Funko Pops. Yeah. So it just shows the different scales of the businesses and the companies, and that's why I think there's a massive price difference. So yeah, I think that's all it comes down to.
That's
really
what I thought it was too. They're obviously not thinking that they're going to be making as many of these Masters Universe figures. You know that.
Well, I think it's the fact that they've. You know, Funko can go to their manufacturer and say, we want to put this out, and, you know, this is and get a better cost than Super 7 ever will be.
Agreed.
Because the Funko are simply a bigger company, buying power, and you know, they've already got a million units going through the machine, whereas Super 7 only potentially have 100,000. You know, the numbers would be vastly different for what they're producing.
Shearer, Darren, did you see any changes to the Shearer prototype?
I believe I did. I believe the face looked quite different. That was my interpretation. I still think it's got a real vintage Teela Evil Lyn sort of vibe, which I really dig. It looks like it could have existed in the vintage line in the 1980s, but it looked different. It looked, I don't know, if anything, it looked more, I don't want to say finished, it looked like it would blend in a bit more, I thought. You know, I just felt it had a bit more of a vintage Master Universe vibe to it.
Yeah, cool.
I don't know what everyone else thought.
They looked taller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they fixed the legs and they slimmed her waist down. It looks like they were still using the same cape because it was coloured red as opposed to the rest of the prototype being the greyscale. That's what I sort of noticed, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and just on that point, it sounds like the legs that were sitting a bit bowed before have been fixed, and they talked about the joint and the mechanics that are going to the joint. And I think we've talked about this previously, but think along the lines of something like a snout spout in terms of how those legs operate, where they've removed the rubber band concept.
A ball and...
Socket.
Socket joint, yeah.
As we mentioned before in other podcasts, you know, Hero and Auto are part of this new line, and we saw some card art that some people were concerned about. I'm not sure if anyone here saw that, but there was some concern that perhaps Hero was going to be billed as Hero, the son of He-Man, despite being, you know, this being the Hero that is He-Man's ancestor. And the Four Horsemen cleared it up fairly quickly that this was just stopgap art, card art to sort of have something at Toy Fair, that it wasn't finalized by any stretch of the imagination. They knew it was wrong when they brought it to Toy Fair. It's just something that they wanted to showcase, that they were going to have cards, I guess, and show people that perhaps aren't as familiar with the line as some of us hardcore fans. But terrific to see them as always, and they are looking like they're coming along nicely. And again, you know, exactly where the vintage line left off, and look like they could blend in perfectly.
And Darren, tell us about the reaction stuff that we saw.
So we saw some reaction Masters Universe stuff. Things like Ram Man, Orko, Mechanek, Faker, Evil Lyn, and Scareglow.
Looks like Scareglow will glow in the dark.
Yes, yeah. It's been confirmed that he will.
Ben's going to have to get it.
I'm serious. I'll maybe even get two because I like the card art, like the beautiful drawing.
Yeah.
And, you know, just to have a loose one as well. I'm not sold on the Herobred staff, though. It's sort of, it looks like an in-between sort of off-green color to a glow-in-the-dark version. Okay. I'm not really loving that, but you know, maybe this is just a early coloring, and maybe fans will be quick on the interweb. You know,
did you see Brian Flynn say, speaking of the card art, that they would consider Pixel Dan, I think, asked him, a set of cards that showcased the card art for the reaction figures?
Yeah,
you know, if there was customer demand. Can I just say, as a customer, yes, I demand it.
But Aaron is demanding that.
Honestly, I'd if I have to, you know, put my two cents in, I'd prefer it in a book style, than like as opposed to a trading card or a blind bag or something, because I can just imagine us where we live here in Australia, to buy trading cards and things, it will just, it'd work out to be like $10 a packet, you know, almost.
You might as well buy the figure and get the card out with the figure.
Yeah, or buy a box of the cards so you can make sure you get the whole set. But I'm just saying, like, you know, a book format so you can buy it, you can flick through it, you know, I think that'd be more sort of a coffee table. That
would be fantastic.
You know, book, yeah, than a trading card set. Just my two cents anyway. Yeah. All right, moving on. Super 7 are continuing to push their muscle style figures in the Motu format. This time, however, we saw prototypes of 6 She-Ra and 6 Hordak characters in muscle format, which look to be available in the single Japanese blind boxes dubbed Keshi Surprises. These will also include a sticker and will be separated into She-Ra boxes and Horde box sets. Super 7 are looking at making both sets available in blind trash cans as well. So that's very interesting. I'm not super excited about more blind figures, but if that's the route they're going, then so we saw Shadow Weaver and Hordak, and we even saw Swiftwind, which was considerably larger than the figures, which is kind of cool. I don't know how that Swiftwind's going to fit in those little tiny boxes, but good luck.
Yeah, just a bit of background on the Keshi Surprises. So these are how muscle figures, if you think about them being sort of ported to the US and sold as they were, the original concept was sold via these Keshi Surprise boxes, individually packed. I think they had some lollies in them.
Yes,
and they had
candy.
The sticker.
Yep.
So I think Brian looked into getting the lollies included, and it was sort of a no-go from a safety or health standard point of view. But he, you know, he really fondly remembers going into the sort of Asian style grocery stores or, you know, corner stores and getting these Keshi boxes. So it's a bit of a throwback to their original concept. Again, for me, not a big fan of blind boxes because I don't know how they're going to sell them. I mean, are they sort of blind in, you know, name only and you can actually order a full set on there? Or are you going to go, I'll have 10 blind boxes and you get 10 Swift Winds or something, which would be very, very, very frustrating as a purchaser.
Definitely. All right, moving on to what we talked about earlier, the Funko Savage World dropped a major series of new licenses at Toy Fair 2018. Savage World figures. If you're familiar with the Son of Zorn or Mortal Kombat 5.5-inch figures, these will fit in right in with those, also thinking of Masters of the Universe style. Among the new items are 8 newly designed Thundercats characters, obviously with Lion-O and Mumra front and center. So what did we think about this one, boys?
These look so damn good. Like, they just... I like that it's a consistent scale, particularly with Thundercats. If you think to the original stuff, there was a wide variety of heights and scales and stuff. Having them all in a consistent scale, it'd be... I don't recall from the pictures seeing a Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat.
No.
Because there was Panthro and Chitara and a few of the others.
Slythe,
Jackalman. And again, it's the head sculpts are spot on. You know, you can have whatever body shape you like. If the head looks right, it looks awesome. And yep, these are going to... I'm going to have a shelf for Funkos, but they're not going to be Pops, and that's great.
Savage World.
Yeah.
Just quickly, I thought they were great. Look, Funko really wanted to get these out there, and that's why you saw a lot of unpainted prototypes. But as you said, Ben, the Lion-O and Mum-Ra, and this is the, I guess, the full-bodied version of Mum-Ra, not the sort of weak, mummified version of Mum-Ra. I think a lot of people have wanted Thundercats in that Master of the Universe style and scale for a long time. For me, I just don't think they've quite captured the essence of a Master of the Universe figure. They look almost like a dwarf or a midget. They've made them so big in every proportion. And I think bigger than Masters, their forearms are just really, really large. If you look at a Masters figure, they tone down at the forearm. Their hands are a bit smaller. And there's just something that I looked at, you know, like I looked at Lino, and he just sort of looked to me like if you'd done Peter Dinklage as an action figure trying to beef him up. They've almost beefed them up to the point that they just, the proportions now look a little bit odd. This is, and I'm talking, I'm not being super critical, but I just don't think the Master of the Universe look like really muscular, toned characters. Whereas something I think in the way they've done maybe even the legs, that there's not a lot of muscle definition, they almost just look fat or stunted or something.
I think it's also, like you said, you're right when you said it's like the hands. I reckon it's the hands and the feet.
Yep.
You think of a Master's toy, and yes, they've got that amazing sort of torso and the big pecs and stuff. But by the time you get to the hands and the feet, they're actually quite small.
Yep.
You know, and combine that with the rubber and they're very hard to stand up sort of thing. Whereas these guys look like they've got bigger feet, so it helps them stand up, and the end result is a slightly different look. Mm. So, yeah.
Continuing on the news of Savage World, they also released 6 Conan of the Barbarian figures with several variants of Conan himself. So that's pretty cool. And last but not least, a killer lineup of 5 figures, all from the horror franchise, including Pinhead, Freddy, Leatherface, Jason, and Mike Myers. These were probably my least favorite of the reveals, as they don't transition well into a muscular body as well as the other characters and properties do. So does everyone feel the same? Like,
yeah, absolutely. They had to take some design liberties in order to make under the Savage World sort of banner. And yeah, other than the head, which is obviously very your classic Freddy and Jason and these sorts, they just seemed a bit...
Yeah.
They look like weird customs to me.
I think as from a design on paper point of view, like a maybe DeviantArt or just fan creation, that'd be cool. But when you translate it into a 3D plastic figure, it's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, I definitely don't
such a
think
strong.
I'll be getting them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I feel... exactly the same way. There's such a strong contrast from the Thundercats, which I thought were a home run. I take your point, but I also think, you know, they're in the scale of Vintage Master Universe. It's a fantasy-based property. May not have wanted it as a kid, but as an adult, I can see the absolute benefits of having a something, you know, in a similar style to Master Universe that is Thundercats. And it's great to sort of see that the license is out there again. It sort of explains why Super 7 didn't get it, though.
Mm, does. Rounds out that question we had. For me, I think we had this very question on the podcast when we knew there was going to be more Savage World figures.
Yeah.
And we sort of said, what's next? What do you want? I think Davey was on the show, and we're all sort of thinking, oh, it's sort of got to be in that almost that fantasy realm.
Mm. Movie game. I couldn't get my head outside of movie game world.
But Thundercats and Conan... are spot on.
Yep,
they're perfect.
Right? I believe, and this is really interesting because I don't know if anyone's a massive horror fan here. Yep.
Yeah,
so that's good. That's good feedback, because Ben being a big horror fan, that's what I was just wondering, if it's the fandom of those characters will push you over the line with the designs. No, they didn't. Yeah, no, they didn't.
I mean, I love my horror. Throughout my teenage years, I'd go to Blockbuster and use the $7 for $7 deal weekly hire, and I went through the whole horror section, you know, over a couple of years, and so I love my horror, but they just do not trans. As I said, they may look good as a fan creation on paper, but transformed into plastic format, I'm not shelling out my hard earned dollars for them. Sorry guys.
So everyone here. Is everyone going to get these? The Thundercats ones, at least?
Thundercats, I mean, Thundercats and the Mortal Kombat ones are a lock for me.
Yeah.
I'll probably typically just get Lion-O and Mumra and call it, because I'm running out of room.
I'm keen on the Thundercats and the Conan the Barbarian stuff in this line.
Yeah, I'll probably pick one Conan, like
the, maybe Mortal Kombat as well.
And then the villain as well, that I know, and call it.
Yeah.
Just cherry pick.
One final question for everyone around the room. Now that we've seen that Funko has the license to do 5.5 inch retro style figures. Is there any hope that Funko would put out essentially some classics versions of Thundercats figures in the vein of where sort of Mattel got to?
I don't think you'll see Funko doing it, to be honest, only because they don't seem to have a huge experience with the heavy articulation side of things.
So they've done a couple of lines just on that point.
Rick and Morty.
So they're pushing Rick and Morty, but just more on the classics. They did a Game of Thrones style of highly articulated movie-accurate figures, which didn't perform well. They got basically to two series, so 12 figures plus some exclusives. And they did some Magic the Gathering. So these were fully articulated figures based on the card game in that classic style. They also did Fantastic Mr. Fox based on the claymation style. So they were trying... These were branded as their legacy figures. Mm. From what I've seen happen to these figures on clearance, I don't think they perform terribly well.
Yeah.
But so there is a slight, and I think you're quite right in your broad analysis, Frank, but there is a slight precedent for them going into that 6 to 7 inch highly articulated. But I just saw that. I thought, Funko's got it. Is there any hope? Because there's a lot of people that want that license revived.
I think Funko have a bit of a monopoly on the franchises, though, because they get their franchises for their pop vinyls, and then they're like, cool, we're going to make some pop vinyls. And then you see maybe a run of 5 or 6 pop vinyls from that franchise, it being Thundercats. Then nothing for a little while, and then all of a sudden they've got this... Savage World, you know, all of a sudden Savage World figures come out, and it's, hey, they've got the Funko Pop vinyl license already, and they're probably just pulling the strings to make more molds. Well,
I would suspect, so just hear me out on this one, that there is a license that license holders grant to do them in the pop style, right? So if you think about Hasbro having, say, the Master Star Wars toy license, Funko obviously have a subset under that that says you can put out super deformed Funko bobblehead style figures. You can go away and do that. And Hot Toys, you can go and do 1/6 scale accurate. Medicom, you in this market, you can do that, blah, 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 blah. So the licensing is very broad. I suspect that now the fact we've seen Savage World, the Funko have an additional license on top of what they've got for Pop, to do articulated action figures at sort of that 5 to 6 inch scale, which I think means that was the reason why Super 7 couldn't play in that same space. It's basically one license to do that style of figure. And I think that would include what they're doing with the retro, and it would possibly include a classic style that we've seen in the from the likes of Bandai in the past when they had the license to do the new stuff, and they did a bit of new stuff and a bit of classics Thundercats. And then I think what Mattel had recently for their 1 year or their half a year of classic style. I think there'd be a lot of fans, and I hope that question sort of gets asked of Funko, if there's any interest in kind of trying to continue the line. If they did, would there be any option of sort of getting the Horsemen to continue their
sculpting? Well, that's another question in itself. It wouldn't be done by the Horsemen, so would they have fans jumping?
The Horsemen are independent sculptors, so they can sculpt for whoever they want. Yeah. But yeah, it would be an interesting question as to whether they would do that.
Yeah, and what their schedule's like as well.
Very good. All right, moving on to some Hasbro news. So Star Wars Black, and I'm going to talk the 6-inch Black series now. I think we had some amazing reveals from Hasbro. And they're using, and Frank, you might talk to this a bit when you get to Marvel Legends, but Hasbro are using this new thing they're calling face print technology.
Yep.
And they're using this on the human faces. So don't expect the Gamorrean Guard to have face print technology, but on human faces. And what they're doing at that 6-inch scale is, I think, truly amazing with some of the likenesses they're now able to capture. I think they're also using this on some of their WWF figures as well. Right. So very happy with the way those prototypes look. We'll be keen to see how they translate into production, but it's looking good so far for Hasbro. Some figures just to talk through. We got the Hoth version of Princess Leia. Finally, Grand Moff Tarkin, Admiral Holdo. So she's got a real cloth dress, pretty much from neck down to feet. So it looked good on the prototype, but you just wonder how that might translate.
It looks like it's form-fitted rather than just a drop sheet, but what we get on the pegs is a different story.
Yeah, exactly. Gamorrean Guard we got. He's got the articulated lower jaw and a real fur loincloth. I think comes with about three different accessories as well. So you could probably buy three or four, move the jaw into different positions, trick him out with some different weapons, yeah. And I think you've got some pretty good looking army builders there. Zookas we got from the scene on Empire Strikes Back on the Star Destroyer with Boba Fett. We're getting a Porg 2-pack. This is super cute.
They look so cool.
Yeah, they're really cute little Porgs, but they come in a tiny little pack as well. Yeah,
it's like about a third. You think of your typical action figure clamshell. It's like the bottom third of that, and then two little Porgs. I can't wait to see some of the army build figures out of this. This is going to be amazing.
I remember when I was a kid, you used to go and buy a packet of chips at the canteen at school, and then you could bring it home and put it in the oven, and it would shrink.
Yeah, it's
this tiny little chip packet. Yeah, all the detail was there. This is what reminded me of that. We're getting as well an Astromech Droid 3-pack, which comes with a sort of dirty, beat-up looking R2-D2, I think the R4 and a green Astromech Droid, which I couldn't name from the top of my head.
R5-D4?
Nah, there you go.
I think.
Very good. And then the upcoming Solo film had a few figures as well. So we got the Alan Ehrenreich Han Solo, the Don Glover.
Face printing technology—that's just—and people are calling it the childish Gambino figure because that's Donald Glover.
Well, he's got the hair, name. Doesn't he?
He looks amazing. Like, that's just—he's
wearing yellow. I mean, it's just—it's they've really played up to his real life persona, I suspect. Woody Harrelson's getting a figure. It looks very Star Wars esque. So I think I quite like the design of the uniform. If you want to build out your Emilia Clarke collection of action figures, as I mentioned, Funko's done a couple of Emilia Clarke as Daenerys Targaryen. She plays Qyra, but there's a figure of that one. And there was, I don't know if I've got the name of it, but basically looked like a stormtrooper, shock trooper type character with some sort of snow gear and these really massive boots, almost like gravity boots or something.
I did hear about that, and the story goes is that is pertinent to a scene in the upcoming movie. So I get the feeling it'd be one of those, it's some gear they use for a particular scene and then it's dispensed with, but it's nice that they include that with the figure.
Yeah, very cool. I'm thinking it relates to the train sequence that we've seen with that train twisting that allows them to kind of stick to the train.
Yep,
that makes perfect sense. My gut feel. And there was also a couple of clone commanders with the removable head plates. So I'm not necessarily cross all the clone commander names, Darren, you might be able to help me, but one looked like Commander Rex.
Yeah, and I suspect that's right. I think he's just starting to come out now, so yeah, it makes sense that he'd be at the fair. Just out of interest, did anyone have any highlights from the Black Series unveilings? For me, it was easily Hoff Leia and the Gamorrean Guard. You know, they were, to me, they just screamed out things that I've been hanging on to, seems like forever.
That Hoth Leia likeness to Carrie Fisher is just
spot on.
Insane. There's been some hit and miss on black, so I definitely agree with you there. I just have to shout out for Grand Moff Tarkin. I guess being pretty much next to Vader, the next biggest villain of Star Wars A New Hope. So,
in fact, in many ways, he's actually more of a threat. You know, Vader's almost played as the henchman in parts of that.
So very happy. He's always had a tough time getting action figures on shelves.
Yeah.
Obviously never had one in the original vintage Kenner style line, which is kind of crazy.
For me, it'd have to be Zookas, because that pretty much rounds out the Bounty Hunter, you know, scene. And I sold all my Star Wars Blacks. So it wasn't a huge collection. It was mainly just the villains of the Bounty Hunters. But now to see like Zookas finishing off, I'm like, I wish, you know, cool. If they ever put out a pack of all of them, you know, sign me up, because I'll rebuy them, because now that they're all out, I'd be keen to collect them again.
Just on that quickly, I believe he's a exclusive.
Oh, well, there you go. That makes the choice easy that I'll never have them.
I think it's a Toys R Us exclusive.
I was watching a video from the Fush. Yep. Yeah, and he was playing, it's an exclusive at Toys R Us, and the Toys R Us in my area is closing. How the hell? He goes, I don't care. I'm going to find a way. I will have one.
I'm getting me Marzookas.
Let's hope they come out here.
Yeah, look, for me, the Donald Glover, that just, it's, my wife is a big bigger Star Wars fan than I, loves Han Solo as a character. She's not sold on the new guy, and she's just, oh, it doesn't look right. But she looks at Donald Glover as Lando. She's like, yep.
Done. Sold. Done.
Yeah. Yep. So that may be, you know, Christmas present in her future.
Nice.
Nice. All right. NECA have unveiled their Aliens Wave 13 lineup. And it includes the long-awaited debut of Space Marine Sergeant Apone.
Woo!
In his Kenner toy colour scheme. That's super cool.
And he's got the no bugs written across the shirt. Yep, so good.
He looks sick.
Yep.
As well as the frequently requested Snake Alien and Scorpion Alien. Also paying homage to the Kenner toy line. Now, the Snake and Scorpion... Now, the Snake Alien I had as a kid, Scorpion Alien I had as a kid, and that was my favourite alien of my collection. Like, I never had the two-pack, which is the Alien versus Predator, which was pretty much the most screen-accurate alien you could get in toy form. Yeah. But I did have the Scorpion Alien, and that was super cool. So I'm so keen to get both of them. Also from NECA, they released official photos and details of their new Alien vs. Predator arcade appearance Dutch and Lin 7-inch scale figure 2-pack, inspired by the classic Alien vs. Predator 1994 arcade game. They look sick.
They look good. Very cool.
Bit distant appearance from Dutch as opposed to the film, but still a wicked-looking figure regardless. So, playable characters Dutch and Lin make their action figure debut with paint deco that recreates the look of the arcade game. Major Dutch Schaefer comes with a detachable blast effect for his huge mechanical arm, plus backpack and interchangeable hands. Lieutenant Lin Kurosawa also comes with sword and gun accessories that fit into working sheaths. Very cool.
Yeah. Look, for me, being a fan of the Kenner line, when I see the Kenner-inspired figures, I go, that just blows my mind. Yeah. And now they're getting to a point where I go, I think I have to almost go back and start collecting just the Kenner ones.
Yes.
But they've got enough of a critical mass now for me to warrant going back and doing that and having those beautiful versions. I mean, they're just amazing.
Yeah, and because there's not much to the Snake Alien, he's going to be enormous on the shelf. He will be probably twice the size girth as a regular alien will be. So, and it'd be interesting to see if the Scorpion Alien detaches or not, like, because it explodes in the original thing. Oh, so maybe you can take off parts. I don't know. We'll watch this space, I guess. Very cool.
Cool. All right, so I'm going to mention Marvel Legends. Now, I spent just about an hour and a half just researching this because Hasbro are putting out so much product. We all know how hot superheroes are and all that sort of stuff at the moment. So just a quick head count, at least, and this is just the regular run-of-the-mill Marvel Legends stuff, over 50 figures announced for 2018 already, which will probably only take us up to, I'd say, middle of the year, and then they're going to announce even more stuff. So people who collect this stuff are going, this is great. My wallet thinks it sucks, but this is really great. So one of the things they're doing with the line overall is they're moving into some more larger scale stuff. Previously, when you have the tag Marvel Legends, it's that 6-inch figure and that's it. They're now putting that tag on your Black Panther masks and the gloves, like role play sort of stuff, as well as these larger sort of 12-inch figures that have sort of the same articulation. They're no hot toys or anything like that, but they're that same sort of size. And with the Marvel Legends branding. And I was going to mention the face printing tech, as Trent was saying, as a result, some of the Captain Americas and all that is the best looking Chris Evans you'll see. So there's a couple of ways. I'm not going to mention all of them because we don't have that much time, so I'll just pick the highlights from each wave. In Deadpool Series 2, there is an Omega Red figure, which is is literally the first Omega Red figure since the Toy Biz sort of stuff. He looks amazing. Also, Bishop, looking straight off the 90s.
What, that mullet's on steroids, right?
The mullet, he's got the big red scarf, and you go, do you know what? Anyone who watched that cartoon, that's how you picture Bishop. All the redesigns he's had since then, that's great. This is the Bishop that we all grew up with. The builder figure for that wave is Sauron, the big, basically, what's the dinosaur? Help me out, Trent.
Pteranodon?
Yep. Big, and he's got this huge wingspan as well. Yeah. He looks great. There is a series coming to tie in with the new Venom movie as well. Obviously, you got some Venom himself with interchangeable heads. You can have him with the black head or with the human head. The head looked really large.
It was the Eddie Brock head that was massive, and yeah, had the sort of Swedish chef style of eyebrows.
It looks like I don't know what it just it didn't it looked out of place. The Venom
it
head
looked itself, double the size. Didn't
it was massive. I thought no, I'm looking at this wrong.
It's, just it's the wrong angle.
And then I saw like different photos from different angles. Like nah, it's just big. So I don't know what they're going to do there, but they've got Carnage, Scream, and interestingly, Spider-Ham, which for those who don't know, is basically Spider-Man in a, think, Porky Pig-style animation. He comes with a symbiote head as well, apparently, which is going to look pretty strange on the shelf. There's a Spider-Man SPDR wave, which has House of M, Spider-Man, Kane, Cloak and Dagger, which is a figure people have been crying out for a long time. The builder figure for that line is basically Spider-Man in like a mecha suit, which apparently comes from like a 2014 comic run. If you think Evangelion, that style of really sort of long limbs and stuff, that wave also has a new version of Doc Ock, which looks
very retro,
very classic. Yeah. The Toy Biz one is great in terms of he's a short, stocky character. This one, they've pretty much nailed it. The controversy around it is the tentacles are fixed. So you can move non-bendy material. You can move them obviously at the point where they connect to his back, but you can't bend them in. And you go, of all the things to not have on a figure like that, I think that's a bit of a miss personally. What do we got? Avengers stuff. There's Avengers Wave 2, the stuff they've announced, particularly focusing on Ant-Man and the Wasp. And again, face print technology. It comes with a mask on and a mask off that is just... It's Paul Rudd.
That Paul Rudd head, it's got the little grin, doesn't it? The
wicked smirk. Little smirk. Yep. And you go, most people go, Ant-Man figure. So what? But you go, it's not an Ant-Man figure. It's a Paul Rudd figure.
Yeah.
Like, I have to have it.
And I want my Evangeline Lilly figure as well.
Yes, that one looks great as well. There's Black Knight coming in that one and a classic Malekith in sort of the really bright colours, which hasn't been done for a long time. There's an X-Men wave. Now, a lot of this had been announced earlier in the year, but the two that people were hanging out for was a new Magneto, done in the modern colours with the red and the black. Looks very cool. And a Sabretooth, which, whilst the body is arguably a lot of the same, it's a new head and the first Sabretooth in forever with the fur. The fur collar, again, very 90s. A lot of this stuff, you go, it's like the people who designed all this stuff were like us. They grew up in the 90s and now they're getting a chance to make it in toy form. That wave's also got Mohawk, Storm, Psylocke, and Apocalypse for the builder figure for that one.
Can I quickly shout something out that I saw as well, which sounded like there were sort of, they're going back to some of the movie stuff as well, and they're doing two or three packs.
Yep.
And I think finally we're getting a Ronin figure from Guardians of the Galaxy 1. Yep. But I was hugely excited to see a Pepper Potts figure, and it's kind of her. She looks like she's wearing the sort of the boob tube or something, and she's got the interchangeable arm that you can basically put on the Iron Man suit arm.
Iron Man 3, right at the end, where she has an Iron Man arm and sort of takes down.
That's right.
The bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Guy Pierce.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So that's a line they're called Marvel Legends the first 10 years, which is sort of all movie-based stuff. There's a mix of two packs. There's the Iron Man 3, which is a three-pack, and then there's some single figures as well, like Ronan. A couple of interesting things. One cool thing is if you get all the packs, and I think there's 10 in total, line them up the side artwork on the side, all forms one giant sort of lithograph, like a picture that flows from one to the other. Like some, you think like the He-Man DVD sets, how it all blends together. Probably one of my favorites out of all that is there's a Red Skull straight out of the Captain America movie. But you look in the pack and he comes with about three different heads that are actually the Hydra soldier, like the token grunt.
Yep.
And I thought it was a two-pack at first, but what they've done is you can swap the heads out. You've got alternate hands and then you've got some armor that slips over the top and it looks like a Hydra soldier figure because the rest of it is the same sort of, very Nazi-style uniform. And yet to see the two side by side, you go... They look like two different figures, but they've got two for the price of one.
Beautiful. Army building.
Yeah. Absolutely. People are going to be buying that all over the place. The single packs you mentioned. There's the Ultimate Riders as well, where they're doing figures that come with...
Logan.
Motorbikes.
Yeah.
Logan on a motorbike is nothing new. Coolest thing is he comes with a patch head where he's got an eye patch. Again, a very sort of 90s reference. There's a replica Infinity Gauntlet that is going to be in all the cosplays you're going to see over the next 10 years. The things light up and it's an oversized hand, obviously. But probably the coolest thing was a couple of store exclusives. I both love and loathe these at the same time. There's one for The Thing, which can be found at Walgreens. Okay, it looks like The Thing. It's a rock guy in his underpants, whatever. The coolest one is the Silver Surfer with the surfboard and everything, and he's actually chrome.
Yep.
The whole thing is chrome. Wow. And you're like, oh, of course it's a Toys R Us exclusive, so how that's going to work, nobody knows. But expect to see him... big money on the third-party market.
Well, he's shiny.
It is very shiny. Who doesn't like shiny new toys?
Shiny commands the big dollars, doesn't it?
Yep.
Very good.
That is done.
All right, moving on to Ghostbusters by Diamond Select. We had our friend Zach Oat on hand to run us through the real Ghostbusters and some of the stuff from Ghostbusters 2. Zach, you may remember, was one of the publishers or collaborators for the magazine Toy Fair.
Yep.
So you saw him quite a lot in some of those spoofs that they did where they translated themselves into little comic book characters with their faces stuck on action figures. Anyway, so the biggest exciting factor for me in Ghostbusters was a line that is based on the animation The Real Ghostbusters cartoon series.
Yes.
We also saw some more stuff from Ghostbusters 2. So, yeah, I guess for me, the big one was The Real Ghostbusters. They're not typically Kenner-inspired action figures. And what these figures do, which I think is, for my mind, a little bit of a miss, is they utilize a lot of the same bucks that they've used in their previous Diamond Select figures.
Mm.
So that is, if you think about it, they're the same size. They're using hyper-detailed sculpting, so yeah. All the clothes have the ripple and that effect.
The creases and crinkles.
They're basically using the movie bucks, right?
They are, yeah.
And what they've done is they've put on new animated-style heads, they've got new belts, they've got new boots, because I think they wear their boots differently in the animated series, and the things like the PKE meters and proton packs are very toy and Kenner accurate. They have the proton streams that seem to look like the old toys, which was pretty cool. For me, the criticism is the bodies are too detailed for the look of the heads, and they haven't captured the unique shapes of the body types because they're all essentially the same. They're quite different in their heights. And the way they must have done the head or something, the Egon looked taller, but they to me it was just a miss, right? Mm.
Great idea, but they failed.
Execution. Yeah. And what Zach said was, he goes, look, they wanted these to fit in with the broader series. However, that's great, and that's a factor, but clearly tooling budget was the other one, right?
It has to be, right?
Mm. Which is fine for this type of line, I guess you understand it. They also showed off a new Slimer, and he came with three different heads. He had the head with the taxi cab hat on, which is really cool. Again, same problem. Very smooth head sculpt. Looks like they've put him on the old Slimer body. So once you get to the actual arms and lower whatever that lower part of his body is called that doesn't have the legs, that's the hyper-detailed movie style.
Yep.
And Stay Puft. He looked to me to be the most cartoon and Kenner-accurate figure of the lot. And there were also some Ghostbusters 2 figures as well. I think if you collect both the new Ghostbusters 2 figures and the real Ghostbusters, the four figures, and maybe the Slimer and the Stay Puft, you're basically going to end up with a 2-foot by 2-foot diorama of the firehouse.
Oh, wow.
And it looked like what you could do, which was really cool, was it's got the sign hanging off the front, which is the Ghostbusters sign.
Yeah.
You can basically remove that and put the Ghostbusters 2 sign with the ghost coming out doing the two fingers. So that's what it looked like to me.
That's Build-A-Figure done right.
It is. Yep. Absolutely sensational. So, yeah, check that out. I'll probably consider the real Ghostbusters line. And I guess if it comes to getting some of the Ghostbusters 2 to make that diorama, I might just have to splurge out.
Definitely. All right, moving on to G.I. Joe. Those fans have something to look forward to from a company calling themselves What Not. They are producing a very robust character selection of super deformed figures. They look very similar proportions to the loyal subjects. With over a dozen characters already locked in, this is pretty cool to see. However, the excitement doesn't stop there, as What Not have a lineup of vehicles for their new figures, including a Cobra Fang, a Hiss Tank, and a Joe Vamp Jeep. Very cool stuff. Hopefully we will hear more news about this line in the near future. So good for Joe fans.
Yeah.
Something new.
Absolutely, yeah.
What's not? Haven't heard of them before.
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Very good. All right, on to some more product from NECA. NECA.
The opposition of Becker, McFarlane.
On to some stuff from McFarlane now. Some really cool stuff. So first of all, I'm a huge fan of the Netflix show Stranger Things.
I think we all
so,
are.
Yeah, yeah. I think everyone is, yeah, because of all the 80s throwbacks that they do, which is brilliant. And the show itself is high quality. So Series 1 has already been released. We've had the Shaved Head 11 and Chief Hopper figures, and we've also had the Demogorgon. Lucas and Dustin figures are, I think, on their way coming soon. And I think we've seen this previously, but you can get the four kids in the Ghostbusters outfits from season 2, where no one wants to be Winston, which is funny. We saw new figures, though, revealed, and it's 11 in her Series 2 Punk outfit, which I think is a great version of 11 to get. We get a version of Will, and he'll actually be packaged upside down in his packaging, referencing his entry into the Upside Down. Mike will get in his regular clothes. We get a Demogorgon dog, and we get a variant of the Dustin figure from season 2, where he goes down into the caves and he's got the goggles and the mask over the mouth and gloves and so forth. Keeping on the McFarlane theme now, this is something that I missed. I missed this until right at the end when I was doing my sort of scan for all the reveals. Mm. They're doing, not only are they doing Walking Dead figures and continuing the sort of buildable Lego style Rick and Morty construction sets, but for me, the big reveal was two figures from Star Trek. So we're seeing an original series Captain James T. Kirk, and we're getting next generation Captain Jean-Luc Picard. Mm. These looked pretty final in terms of the versions. So we had painted versions that were shown. We saw packaged version. This looks like a line that could go a long way, and it could definitely go deep. They're 7-inch. They're in that sort of 7-inch Walking Dead, Stranger Things style. The accuracy to the likenesses. We're talking face print technology before. This is akin to that. So they're doing some really great stuff there. Just quickly on Star Trek in action figure form. We've had a number of lines in the past from toy companies like Galoob, and I think we've had Playmates did a big wave in the sort of early 90s that lasted a number of years. Then I think in sort of the mid-2000s, early 2000s probably it was, we got some Art Asylum figures done. So Scott Bakula, I think he was in one of the Star Treks then.
Enterprise.
It was Enterprise, yeah. So a bit of stuff from that. This sort of reminded me more of that that style of figure. Very, very accurate. So yeah, big one for the Star Trek fans. Expect them to start showing up summer 2018 and retail for $19.99 USD.
So Mattel unleashed some more DC Multiverse comics and base characters in the 6 and 6.5-inch scale action figure form. And one of those included an unpainted prototype for the Multiverse Signature Series Danny DeVito Penguin from Batman Returns, which looked very, very awesome. Trent would know that he's sort of had me in his ear for the last 10, 12 years saying this line needs to happen, we need it to go with our Dark Knight movie masters and so forth. So finally, Mattel have listened and I'm getting this line that I've been dreaming of for what seems like half my life, and looks absolutely awesome. Loving that. Can't wait to see some more now that we've sort of seen the Val Kilmer Batman and the Linda Carter Wonder Woman and the Flash and now the Penguin. They also had some other DC Multiverse comics figures, and some of those included things like the DC Rebirth Wonder Woman, Gotham by Gaslight Batman, which really looked impressive. If you've seen the movie recently or read the graphic novel or even both, this figure just looks like it. It stepped right off the page or right off the screen. It looks incredible. And, you know, I couldn't be happy with that one. They also had the Ray and a DC Rebirth Harley Quinn.
And that Ray looked like he had a translucent variant from what I saw as well.
Certainly did look like that. Looked very cool.
Very good. Yeah, can't wait.
Gremlins fans have something awesome to look forward to. A newly designed figure to keep an eye out for from NECA. It's been dubbed the Ultimate Gremlin and will be mainly based off the original 1984 Gremlins film. It will have loads of accessories, including poker chips and a beer stein.
Nice.
An unpainted, very early prototype was shown, so watch out for updates of this classic figure.
It looked good, didn't it?
It looks amazing.
Very nice, yeah.
I hope it comes with the fluffy mohawk, like not like the spiked one is always produced, but there's not too often we get the fur. Yeah. So
Very good. I know, Ben, you'll probably be adding that.
There's no probably about it.
Yeah. It's going in.
It's already in my collection, just waiting for it to be made.
You've got the spot all planned out. That's it. All right, on to some news from Mattel and their Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom line. So we've had some leaks. It's been a leaky ship up until this point, as you can expect for a big property like Jurassic Park and being picked up by a new license holder. But New York Toy Fair was the place to be for some high-res picks. Up first, we're getting the basic dinosaurs, which are called the Attack Pack, where basically, if you've got a smaller-scale dinosaur, they'll be represented in this wave. We got the Herrerasaurus, which actually featured in the Telltale game series. So this validates, I guess, Universal Pictures' approach to going deep into their expanded universe, which is cool. Always like a bit of depth to these lines. Also shown were Velociraptor Blue and a Dilophosaurus, complete with acid-spitting projectile feature. So think how Dennis Nedry gets taken out, or Newman for those Seinfeld fans, in the first Jurassic Park film. We then get the basic human figures. These will retail for about $8 US, and they're at that 3¾-inch scale, so probably a bit smaller than what we saw from Kenner's line. They're packed with gear, and sometimes you get a small dinosaur. Owen Grady comes with the baby blue Velociraptor. Highly articulated, so it looks like you're getting knee and elbow articulation, as well as quite a bit of articulation through the legs. Wave 1 looks like it appears to have 8 figures, and we're also getting the Claire Deering figure. Then you get into the carnivores. Well, they might even be called carnivores. Maybe there's a pun there or something. They'll retail for $15 US and have electronic sounds with action features. Some of the ones you can get your Triceratops, your Allosaurus, and your Metricanthosaurus. Apparently, the Pixar are pretty good, but people that were there were saying, you know, the detail on these figures is really, really nice. Action attacks, you get up to the $20 price point for the medium-sized dinosaur, Stegosaurus, Carnotaurus, and the amazing-looking real Phil-Mosasaurus, which is very reminiscent of the original Jurassic Park figures, where it seems to have all the articulation sort of built in except for the jaw, which looks really, really nice. You get up to then the large scale, which I think we had a reveal of the Thrash and Throw T-Rex. Little bit disappointed with the amount of articulation and cut joints in the torso that just sort of break up the aesthetic for me, but it works a really cool action feature that when you move the tail, the whole thing moves around and thrashes, which is cool. For me, the absolute standout, right, is what they're calling the Super Colossal Tyrannosaurus Rex. It's 3 foot long.
Wow.
Expect it to retail for $54.99. It comes with articulated jaw and hollow belly, so you can just basically munch through your action figures. The other thing that I'll just quickly mention is there were some really cool vehicles. So there were figure-compatible vehicles. Some really basic ones. There was sort of a sub and a truck, and the truck looked like it was pretty much no pain apps, $20 US price point. But then there was this, I think if you just go up to the $25 or $30 price point, you get this beautiful looking screen accurate sort of six wheeler armored truck, and you press a button and it launches a gyrosphere out of it.
Oh,
so you can basically, they had some video of this gyrosphere coming out, knocking down a dinosaur, but that vehicle looked really, really nice. So I'm hoping that, because the $20 ones just looked a bit cheap,
basic,
and I can see what they're doing, but I just really hope that this $30 price point vehicle line is what we're going to get, you know, the Jeep from the original Jurassic Park. That for me, just while we're on Jurassic World, was the disappointment, because I'd followed a lot of the reveals where there was no photography allowed. And there was talk that we were going to get Jurassic Park figures. So there was, you know, an Ian Malcolm. We saw nothing of that.
None of that.
None of that Jurassic Park stuff was shown, except I think it looked like they weren't even figure compatible, but it looked like you could get the Jeep in RC and a few different things. Yeah, but
that was what I saw too, and I'm like, where's the rest?
Yeah. Maybe because the movie's so close, they just want to lock in the movie's got a certain
window of
opportunity to push, and then they can go back and do the classic stuff later. I'm just speculating.
Yeah, no, I'm hoping that's the case. Yeah.
What did you think of the scar?
Look, 3 3/4 I was a little bit disappointed with, because I wanted a continuation of Kenner.
That's what I wanted, something that would blend in seamlessly with the vintage Kenner line that people might be familiar of the original trilogy. It's definitely a step in the right direction. It's a lot better than what Hasbro did a couple of years ago with Jurassic World.
I think this is a fine line, because if you go too big with the figure, the dinosaurs become unwieldy and too expensive.
Absolutely.
I suspect the most sensible and accurate scale is to go 3 3/4 on the figures.
Yep.
But yeah, I totally agree. I would rather you get the 5-inch figure and then have the dinosaurs maybe a bit proportionately small.
Yeah.
That would be my preference. Too, just because but, it would feel... Yeah.
But
yeah.
I suppose if you've got certain dinosaurs that can eat the character, the action figures, you can't have the action figures too big for them to swallow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so just
there's nothing worse than getting action figures stuck in your teeth.
You sound like you speak from experience. You chew a few when you were a kid.
We were all kids at some point.
Some of us still are.
All right, moving on. Mega Bloks with their Mega Construct subline are continuing the Masters of the Universe character list with the announcement of Man-at-Arms, Faker, and Evil Lyn. So that's pretty exciting. But the brand doesn't stop there. They also have what appears to be a battle-damaged alien xenomorph, Hellboy, Terminator T-800, as well as a comic book Eastman and Lard accurate Ninja Turtle Leo figure. For gamers, they have Elzio from Assassin's Creed. Apologies if I said that incorrectly.
Ezio.
I've never played the game. And Kratos from God of War. So they're kicking goals in that sense. And it'll be interesting to see if they come out in play sets or just mini figures on cards or not. Moving on, Loyal Subjects have showcased an awesome array of Predator figures, including mainly Predator 2 this time, including Lieutenant Mike, a.k.a. Denny Glover, and Peter Kays, a.k.a. Gary Busey. Just to name a few of the humans, aside from the many, many cool Predator 2 variants. They also have a robust collection of alien figures and space marines. Everything from Eggs, Facehuggers, Chestbursters, Lieutenant Ripley, Vasquez, Bishop, and Hudson, as well as many alien variations. Super cool indeed, and there's also lots of Kenner-inspired colour schemes in there. On the bandwagon of Loyal Subjects, they also showed off a great collection of Ghostbuster figures and a very robust selection of horror film characters, as well as a fantastic selection of 90s Nickelodeon cartoon characters.
Yeah.
WWE characters were also shown, and they're introducing a Builder Ring included in this lineup, as well as a builder figure thing. So, the thing, the horror movie.
The thing. Why didn't you say it was a thing?
Rounding up the news on Loyal Subjects, they are actually exploring a release of their figures in a more traditional 6-inch scale. Ooh. Prototypes teased were Lion-O from Thundercats and Mega Man, potentially retailing for between $20 and $25. But nothing confirmed yet on this new scale or price yet.
So, right, we didn't see any images of these?
Yes, okay, we saw Lion-O.
Are these in the deformed style?
Yes.
But bigger.
They had Lion-O standing next to the regular Thundercats in the Loyal Subjects, and he's considerably bigger. And then they had Mega Man, who hasn't had any scale whatsoever so far, as the 6-inch, and saying, we're exploring this. So my only gripe with Loyal Subjects figures is most of them come in blind bags.
Yeah.
And then they do have a Power Rangers line of carded figures, much like the He-Man ones, like Prince Adam and things came as, and the con exclusives in like a single blister card. I just think they need to do the single blister card. I think they'll sell better than blind bags. If you know, in Australia, they cost between $15 and $20 for a blind box. And I know there's some share groups and things on Facebook and that, but you're certainly not going to get me spending $20
continuously.
Exactly. Especially with their brand opening up so large. I'd be keen to get some Aliens and Predator and things, but if I don't know what I'm getting, I just won't even go there.
Will you imagine at the 6-inch scale, if you're talking $20 here, they're going to be $30,
$35.
They'd
be silly to do that.
You can't have a $30 blind box figure. That'd be silly,
Definitely. So, update on the Funko Batman 66 line. No Wave 2 was shown, which was a little bit disappointing. I remember hearing that... initially it was going to be shown in December and it wasn't. However, it's been confirmed that Wave 2 is definitely coming, that it will debut in summer 2018 US time. And as someone who collected Wave 1 and loves Wave 1, and I think people like Ben noted that the Batmobile Batman Robin 3 pack's just been sighted in Australia, and I picked that up a while ago, but that line's really connected with me in a big way, so I'm really looking forward to seeing what Wave 2 offers up. I think there's so much potential. There's still a lot of iconic villains that haven't had their run, and you know, I keep thinking, you know, maybe Mad Hatter.
So they haven't announced figures.
They haven't announced who's in Wave characters, 2, just that it's coming, and that, so it's exciting not knowing. It's also kind of frustrating because I, you know.
That's the whole point of Toy Fair. You're supposed to show us new things.
That's right.
Foot Soldier.
Yes. NECA has gone down a few pegs in my opinion, because they to be fair, I went back through the history of their tweets and they said, "We'll show you the Foot Soldier if it's ready." And so people took that as gospel, and then when it wasn't there, it's, you know, people got a bit annoyed.
We spoke about
Super 7 and how they're showing stuff that's not sort of final, and they're going making all these running changes. NECA are known for the opposite of that, where they're going, "We are not showing you until it's ready to put in a box." And they take their time, so it's worth the wait.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on. Netflix Voltron. Legendary Defender fans will be excited to hear the announcement of Princess Allura, Hunk, and I think there was a third one. Hunk and Pidges, I believe. I didn't write that down. Cool. So, in action figure format, as well as a few new versions of Voltron, such as the stealth version, which has got clear plastic on it and things, and a newly designed Voltron that will be showcased in season 5 of the TV series. So, pretty cool. And he's got like sort of bird wings on the back instead of the two sticks of wings. So, that was wicked. Now, for some sour news, unfortunately, that I, you know, hurt. SH for Guts, the Shredder figure from this line has unfortunately been placed on hold to an unknown release date. He's not cancelled, just on hold, and this may even eventuate into a new sculpted Shredder or something along those lines. So sorry to be a bit more disappointing.
It's softened by the fact NECA put out that very Fred Wolf inspired figure in their 8-pack. Now, I know that's an 8-pack Shredder, and you know, you might not have picked up the 8-pack, and you might have gone down this path. And I know probably a lot of us, in fact, everyone in here would have the SH Figure Arts Turtles, I suspect. So, yeah, that is sort of disappointing that that's been put on a hiatus.
So, on the topic of Turtles, we're looking at some of the Nickelodeon stuff, and wasn't a whole bunch of new figures that we hadn't already seen in the lead up to Toy Fair. But one of the bigger things that we actually mentioned on last week's episode was the playset, which we were sort of like, it's advertised as 42 inches tall, and we took about a third of that being a cardboard backing. No, it probably is, because it turns out there's another whole subsection that sits below the sewer level. And looking at the pictures, it seems to be it's very sort of...
Mystic
and dragon-inspired sort of
thing. It's like a snake that turns into a snake
head. Yeah, yeah. So that's obviously going to play into the story in some aspect. And I believe, because I saw some boxed, like, artwork of the box, and that didn't have that as part of it, I don't believe.
So yeah, I believe this is separate, a separate
it is,
place.
It is. Separate it's item. Yep. It's called the Hidden City.
Yes.
Yes.
So, very so, cool, though. It's going to make just the biggest play set that we've ever had if you join it up.
I'm looking at my ones currently, and I've got no idea how the other one is going to fit and where it's going to go.
I mean, honestly, aside from Lego, no one else does this anymore.
That's right. Like, big play sets. Scale. Yeah. Not to this scale, not at all.
It's the last bastion, really, of play sets, isn't it? Yeah. And maybe in the Girls toy aisles, you've got Barbie doing some stuff, but yeah, this is really it.
But I mean, but in proportion to the size of Barbie, though, you know, she's already 10 inches tall or something.
Yeah, proportionally.
So
yeah,
you know,
what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably all the lines we had covered. I know. I don't know if you guys do this, Ben. I suspect you do. But do you sort of have your shopping list out and you're sort of looking at stuff, going, "Yep, yep, yep."
What? I'm in.
Do we just want to go around the room quickly? I know we've talked a little bit during about what we sort of is a must buy or a must purchase. Yep. But is there anything that stood out for you now that you're adding to your list?
I've got three super definite. They're already, you know, found spots in my toy room. And that's definitely the snake alien, the scorpion alien, as I shouted out before, because they, you talk about childhood toys, they're like my, you know, when I was of age and I knew, you know, can distinctively remember playing with them and things, and I was probably too old to actually be still buying toys, but they were fantastic. So definitely grabbing them. And the ultimate gremlin from NECA. I cannot wait to get that. I just recently for Christmas, I got the other ultimate gremlin, which is more of a gremlin 2. And he's got the Uzi. And getting that in hand, he takes photos for me. Like, he is just amazing detail, amazing articulation, everything. So I'm super duper excited about this, you know, original version of the gremlin. So they're my big three. Yeah.
Yeah, I had trouble picking some of the Marvel Legends stuff because there's just so much product coming out. Even today, I was tossing and turning between getting a Cyclops and Jean Grey or Dark Phoenix set and the Black Panther figure. And what I found really interesting, there was a Black Panther and they had a Killmonger. And you might think, okay, they both look like Black Panther because he had the full costume on. You actually get up close. Killmonger is actually just slightly bulkier, which is accurate to the film, but even there's a whole bunch of little sculpting details. Black Panther's a lot of lines where the armor sort of comes together, whereas Killmonger was more like dots and slashes and scratches, and it's just, oh, Marvel Legends are killing it. So for me, it's the 90s Sabretooth and Bishop. I'm really tempted with that Magneto, but
Omega Red.
Omega Red, of course, that's the other one I was missing. I was really hanging out for the NECA Foot Soldier stuff because I think that'd be an amazing figure. But also the pleasant surprise for me was the Savage World stuff. I think when we saw the Mortal Kombat stuff, that's as far as I expected that to go. And I'm like, and now you're doing Thundercats and, like, you know, Conan and what next? Like, I think that's, you can have new figures that look old, if that makes sense. So yeah, I think that's a really, really interesting space.
So for me, probably no great surprises here. I'm really excited about and keen to get the Super 7 Masters of the Universe stuff and also the Mega Constructs Masters of the Universe stuff when that stuff sort of hits. I'm also very keen on the Mattel DC Comics Multiverse stuff, particularly the Danny DeVito Penguin. That's a must-have for me. And Star Wars Black Series stuff. Huge fan of all of that, particularly the Hoff Layer, as I mentioned before, and the Thundercats line from Funko and the Conan stuff. That looks absolutely terrific.
Yeah, everything above and probably the Stranger Things stuff, I just can't let that go, as well as the Star Trek, just to get Kirk and Picard.
Yeah,
it's two figures, so that's nice. Should be nice and easy. We'll see where that one goes. Notable omissions. Did anyone, I know we've talked about Foot Soldier and Shredder from NECA was a notable omission, and we've talked about Wave 2 of the Batman 66 line by Funko. I'll just touch on one that I had in terms of notable omissions. And it was, what was it? I can't remember.
Drum roll.
It was Funko. Yeah, the big build up to this really non-buildable segment. Funko put out some Disney Saturday afternoon figures. So these are things like Uncle Scrooge and Baloo and that sort of thing. I was really hoping for some more news from them.
Yeah.
I didn't see it or I didn't hear it talked about at all watching the videos or anything. So hopefully that line is selling like hotcakes and there's going to be more. And it just is, because really that sort of stuff hit without very much notice. You know, it got revealed and then it hit pretty much soon after, around late 2017. So I was just a little bit disappointed I didn't sort of hear a little bit more about what might be coming in terms of Wave 2.
Yeah. I don't know about omissions, but the other one that jumped out to me was the Transformers stuff, in that it didn't jump out to me. There was one exception, which I should have mentioned earlier in our episode, the Titans class Predaking, where basically we're all used to the what they call the deluxe size, which is close to your standard sort of action figure size, and they combine into one. These are the large, each robot of the five is a Voyager class size, so they're pushing 7 inches, 8 inches for each individual figure, and you get five of those together to form this amazing looking
Predaking. And is it correct that you'll buy that in a box set like Devastator?
I believe so. Yep. Yeah,
it'll be sort of Devastator size, won't it? Is that right?
It's joined? Like that, yeah, Titan Club, that's what they're saying, is Devastator. So the Combiner Wars Devastator.
Nice.
Bit of controversy in that some people have shown pictures where, in terms of how they combine, it's essentially a figure and on the back is like a large,
peg?
Yeah, just a large chunky black thing that flips up to become like the thigh of Predaking. And as an individual figure, it doesn't look that great. But I go, you know, one, it's on the back of the figure. Two, most people who are going to get this are going to display him as Predaking. And when you actually look at it compared to someone like the Feral Rex stuff and all these other third-party Predakings, the proportions on the Hasbro one are actually really good. Like, he doesn't look like just like his legs are too short or his arms are too massive. It looks really nice. But look, beyond that, the rest of it was all pretty disappointing, to be honest, or stuff we've already seen. There's also talk the doing a movie sort of throwback line, and it's supposedly new versions on, you know, Optimus and Bumblebee and all that. And apparently the quality control on those is really poor, to the point, you know, some well-known reviewers and stuff have basically popped one out of the box and Bumblebee's arms come off without them.
I've seen that video, and there's joints coming off left, right, and center when he's trying to just transform it. The wheel comes off, and then the arm comes off, then the leg comes off.
And, you know, this is supposed to be a legacy. So with the whole movie universe being rebooted, this is supposed to be a tribute to that, and I just think they've missed the boat or phoned it in or
maybe
something.
Maybe it sums up the movies.
Yeah. Or two. Just a mess.
Sorry,
it falls
Charles.
Apart at the end.
Yep. Any other notable omissions from anyone?
No, not really. I think they ticked all my boxes.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I was really happy with everything overall. I think we talked about the few little things along the way. Yeah, more to be happy about and excited about than disappointed. Did want to thank everyone, though, for tuning in to our episode or downloading it or streaming it or whatever the terminology is. And you know, being such a loyal audience as well, hopefully some of the excitement that we've had for this stuff has come through, because it is a really exciting time. Now, I said that we were just touching on some of the stuff that caught our eye. This is by no means the entire wrap-up of what New York Toy Fair had. So feel free to hit us up with anything that you feel that we should have talked about that we missed or anything that you're excited about. We're always very keen to hear what our listeners are interested in. And really, really enjoy you engaging with us. So please do. And once again, I'd like to pay tribute to Trent for all he does in making this podcast possible. The video content and you know, the early work and continuing work that he puts into it. And Ben for his photography skills that really, really help make those episodes so eye-catching before you even hear them. I think that's always worth noting, and Frank for editing out all my crap. You know, that really is important. So thank you one and all, and just like to hand it over to everyone to sort of add anything they'd like to add or say their goodbyes to the audience or whatever they'd like to do next.
Yeah, well, so I guess, as you said it beautifully, Darren, New York's a very exciting time, and hopefully we've captured some of that enthusiasm that we have for toys. It's been a fun ride. I love digesting all the information that comes out of all the different websites and videos and pics that we see. So hopefully we've been able to bring you some of that in podcast format, so you can tune in when you can't get in front of a screen. So, thanks, Darren, for hosting. and good journey.
Cool. Just one thing I just want to add that's sort of relatable to news. At the current point in China, they're celebrating their Chinese New Year, which essentially shuts down all the they shut down the factories because everyone has a big holiday. So it's putting a bit of a stretch on shipping and getting stock through and things. And I know for one of my Kickstarter projects that I've signed up for, the Ninja Turtles book that's being affected. I've heard some people trying to get some third-party Transformers. They've, you know, now been put back a couple of months because of the Chinese New Year and things. So we feel for you, you know, if you've got something waiting for something. But, just wait for this little hump and celebration to be over, and then I'm sure the world will go back to normal. So... cool bananas.
Yeah, and just a quick shout out. We at Toypower have completed our first international transaction. Old mate Oliver Jones, your Ninja Turtle van parts are on their way. At the rate that Australia Post goes, you should get them before Christmas. But,
Before Christmas which year?
Well, I didn't specify quite deliberately. So, pleasure doing business with you.
And honestly, go and check out his Instagram, I Make Toys.
So
he is a sick customizer. I've personally ordered one of his black and white Raphael. I think it's a bit of a statuette type action figure. It looks really, really cool. I can't wait to have it in hand, and I'll do a bit of a review on the show when I've got it in hand. But I Make Toys, one word, Instagram.
Yeah, and the I is E-Y-E, as in eyeball.
As in the body part.
Yeah. I Make Toys. Yeah, definitely check it out. Worth following on Instagram. Very, very talented. So, yeah.
Good very stuff. Nicely done, gentlemen. It's been awesome catching up with you all and talking New York Toy Fair. Until next time, good journey.
You can find the Toy Power team at all the usual online places. Facebook.com/ToyPowerPodcast, at Toy Power Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram, or have your say and email us, ToyPowerPodcast@gmail.com. Subscribe to the show on both iTunes and Stitcher, and please leave us a review. Otherwise, we just assume we're awesome.
We are a proud member of the Giant Size Team Up Network. Check out all the awesome shows on this awesome network full of okay people. Want to learn more? Go to GiantSizeTeamUp.com, where you can find us and a whole lot more awesome shows. Well, they're not more awesome than us, but good. Yeah.